All right, so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio Online. Thank you so much for those who are joining in over the internet. It is Wednesday evening. I'm taking over from Wynn tonight. He's not here. Just kidding. He's going to be here in just a moment, I hope. I welcome you all, and we still have more people joining in on the conference call. And I welcome you. If you have a chance, please say your name and location. Another Bing, another person. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Michelle in Cambria, California.
Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the call.
Thank you
for being here.
Thank you.
Another person joined in. Welcome to this room. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heist. This is Cindy from Virginia.
Hi, Cindy. Good evening to you. Welcome to the call.
Good evening. Thank you.
All right.
Good phone. Sounds great.
Yep. Loud and clear. And somebody else joined in. I welcome you. Please say your name and location. If you want to.
Oh, my computer's not charging.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Hi. Hi there.
Your computer is not
charged.
Are you charged enough, Terry?
I should be. My computer is not charging, but everything's plugged into my computer, and if I can keep my computer charging, then it'll keep charging.
Your fault.
So I should be okay. I hope I'm okay, except my computer just shut down.
You have to dominate your computer.
I need to get a power supply that works.
Hello, Terry. This is Gary.
Hi, Gary. Are you still in the hospital?
Yes.
Okay. We want to come and see you, but we're getting it together still.
All right, so it's Wednesday evening, and I know that more people are joining in over BBS Radio online. Thank you for being here. We still have the lines open, the phone lines, so we're still greeting people. And also, we're still waiting for Wynn.
Hey, Terry, what have you learned from your breatharian experiences?
I learned that that a person can really get by without food and water, and for quite a long time, I did it like 8 days. The first 2 days had some water and some juice, and then toward the end of the 8 days, since I was keeping such a giant schedule, he said to take some water again. But I kind of managed to stay off it for about 15 days. Mm-hmm. And then Jim moved in, the gourmet cook.
Yeah.
That was too much. He kept saying, making this and the making that. Or you see, you won't have fun. And I held off for a few days. I said, well, I'll have a little of this.
Why would you do that? Is there any advantages to that, do you learn something from that, or what's the point of being a breatharian?
I was figuring that if I ever needed to go into survival mode, it would be a really good thing to know what one's limits were and to be able to take the most advantage of the air and the sunshine and the sunrise and the sunset to help sustain the body.
Mm-hmm. Is there any spiritual advantage to doing that? Or?
Yeah, I felt really good, and the people would look at me and say, wow, you all of a sudden you've gotten really stuck. So I said, what does that mean? It's like I lost weight. I was a little overweight, and I came back to normal weight, which was good.
I went 4 hours without eating once.
Well, you know, there's I've seen film where they've had people on continuous camera for 7 days. And, you know, I used to think that was something, but there are some still yogis that are out there that people say haven't eaten in, you know, 15, 20 years or taken a drink of water.
I've heard those stories. Just,
I can show it.
Pardon? Breatharians are probably lousy tippers at restaurants.
I see. You know, it's just 100%.
The beginning.
It's just in the beginning. Yeah, you're hungry. After that, you're not hungry. There's no anger. I don't know how you felt, Terry, but I know I did some fasting, and you're just hungry in the beginning. After that, you don't. You're not hungry.
A lot of it's psychological along that, just conditioning.
I went to a place where I was really, really hungry, and I was really thirsty more than anything. And so I used to, like, just get a glass of water and hold it in my hand and smell it. I was all thirsty.
That takes an awful lot of training.
There's a thing where you hold a glass of water between your hands without touching them, and you hold your breath as long as you can. You're supposed to charge the water. Anybody heard that one?
I have heard of people holding it and putting their hands to the left and the right of it.
Yeah.
And actually taking it.
It's like hold your breath, too, is the version I heard.
I've not heard that you had to hold your breath. The current passes through between your hands will get the water spinning in the right direction.
You've heard that there's those things that the Egyptians hold, the somethings of Horus. I can't think of the first word now. There's two cylinders, the rods of Horus or something like that. And I heard one theory was that one of them was like zinc and one was copper. It creates like a battery-type electrical charge.
I put a crystal in my water. In my bottle of water. I have a crystal in my water. So when I fill it up,
do you notice any?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What kind of crystal is it?
Tastes better.
What kind of crystal?
You know, because the crystal, like a quartz crystal, is the highest vibration on the planet. And what we talk about is energy. So you're energizing that water. You're putting it in like frequency through the process of entrainment, which is, you know, entrainment is physiological, social, et cetera, like attracts like.
Right.
That those higher frequencies are picked up and generated into the water.
I put a little bit of Himalayan salt in my water.
Yeah, salt again. I mean, some people, I've read on that, and I'm a big salt fan because they say, you know, I've been sensitive with crystal. And that really helps with the transmission and connections, everything to your mind.
You're supposed to get like a lamp out of a block of salt. It's supposed to put out ions or something. I've not tried it.
I keep trying on mute highs, but he still has. We still have music on hold. He's probably trying to find Wynn.
Wynn's
on.
Looking for you, Wynn. Are you on, Wynn?
Did you have any other interesting? Meet any other interesting people at the?
Okay, we are on. I'm ready. Okay, sorry to be slightly late. Let's mute everybody and get started. Hang on. Mute. Good. No mute. Thank you. Hi, Marilyn Kay. Hi, everybody. Let's see. We're just going to go right into it, okay? Since we're coming in a little late.
This conference is being recorded.
This is February 12th, 2014. Wynn and Terry in Los Angeles, actually North Hollywood. And we are a little bit crazy handling everything. You know, the interesting thing is about what we're doing, and this is hard to understand, is that every at the level that we're doing stuff, everything we're doing has an energy attached to it. And it's not just functions, it's energy. And this is true for many of you, if you can understand this, because when you become one with the energy of what you're doing, you then have to process it to get to the next thing that you're doing. And when you get too many energies, this is true for me, and I observe the same thing is true for Terry, we end up sleeping for a couple of days, and that's one way of processing the energies. So it's kind of like not like we're coming and saying, here we are, we're together. This is like every time we come into something, there's energy to process, including these calls. And that's part of being, how would I say it, doing this job, so to speak. And those of you that want to make a difference, that want to be healers, have to, Terry, can I have your charge cord? Not the charger that was plugged in, the one that was plugged into your computer, okay? Because I don't want to run out of charge. So part of our challenge is just keeping our phones charged. It's like theoretically we should be spending half a day just preparing for this call energetically. And instead, we're not. We can't.
Instead, we're trying to figure out how to get our phone charged.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, I admit it, we're space cases. But then you have to be a space case to do this job. And then it's a matter of, like, how do you ground the... This is the wrong cord, Terry. This is not the right plug on me.
Yeah. I just got a call from my family in Holland that my mom passed away.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Well, we'll put her into the light as part of this call, okay?
Please. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, there's things that we do on these calls that we have to decide if they're real, just as you do, because I have no experience record of anyone ever doing something like this, and I observe things very, very carefully. Can you give me that cord, a little cord? Very carefully, in order to the best of my ability, discern that, thank you, that it's real. And when we answer these questions, we don't want you to believe us. We want you, you know, people, one of the things is people want to give up their power to some source that's going to tell them what to do. And these sources that we deal with usually do not say things in a way that requires you or encourages you to give up your power to them. You'll notice that they phrase things very carefully. Because if you're giving up your power to something outside yourself, you're losing your sovereignty. And it's very most important to come into every situation in your life as a sovereign, integrous human being, not just a follower. And sometimes we are trying to learn how to do that. We have to pay attention to something for a while to help us learn how to be sovereign. And when you're sovereign, it means you have, you're confident in your individuality. And when you're confident in your individuality, it allows you to blend energies with someone else and know that you're not getting lost in it. It would be very similar to the idea of
a loving relationship with someone. You know, the best relationship, and of course it doesn't always start this way, but the relationship is going to keep driving you to the place where this happens. The best relationship is a relationship where both people come from their sovereignty and can blend energies and then go back to their sovereignty and then blend energies. And that can happen on and off, on and off again all day. And you may choose to stay blended because you're working together as a team. But once, when you have your sovereignty established, you then don't go into codependence. And when you're still developing your sovereignty, you go into codependence. Codependence is where you have the experience of having, this is my take on it, you have the experience of taking energy from another person, or they're even giving it to you, and it makes you feel balanced, and it makes you feel really good. And then, of course, you think that that person can do that all the time, and then you kind of lean on it, and the energy goes away. Not their fault. You can't blame them. It's because you're not holding up your end, or they're not holding up their end, because unless you're coming from your own strength and your own sovereignty, you can't hold up the energy with another person indefinitely. It comes and goes. And then you go into the opposite polarity where you're fighting or you're in polarization and you're trying to work it out. So that's part of the learning curve. And it's not to make yourself wrong if you find yourself in that position. The more you can mentally understand what is happening, the more you can observe it, the faster you'll get through it. So it's not wrong to be codependent. It's not wrong to lean on somebody's energy. It's not wrong to feel empty inside. It's not wrong to feel desperate. It's not wrong to feel separated from all it is. You know, it's not wrong to feel alienated. Those are all part of the process. And I certainly have gone through every single one of those things. And I can say that the more you understand your process, the more you say, that's me going through my old stuff, that's more me going through my old garbage, the part of you that's observing yourself is outside of the dilemma. It's outside of it. And so what you're doing is you're building a space that is outside of the issues, outside of the codependency, outside of the fear, outside of the alienation. And you keep watching it, and before you know it, the space you're building that's outside of it all starts to become more prevalent. And, you know, I was talking to somebody earlier today who was telling me they're trying to work out some of the childhood issues. And I told them, and I went through this, so I mean, this is my experience, that I experienced that it wasn't a matter of getting through my childhood issues and they would go away. It was a matter of workaround. Okay, those things are there. I'm not going to let them stop me. I'm going to work around them. I'm going to do what I need to do and operate above them. And they're still there, but I'm not making myself wrong. I'm just not letting them stop me. I'm not letting myself feel unworthy. I'm not letting myself feel the things that were embedded in me when I was growing up. And that's the way it works for me. You know, I'm sharing it, maybe it'll work for you. Don't let all those things tell yourself you can't do it. Do it anyway. Work around it. Work through it. And part of that is showing up no matter how you feel. And we do that on these calls. I don't show up because I like to show up. In fact, anyone that knows me for years knows that I don't like responsibility. I don't like appointments. You know, I like to make each day up totally from scratch. And the more I make appointments, you know, part of me resists it. But part of me knows that this is a really high purpose we're doing here, and that we're helping lots of people hold their own energies together. And so I show up. And you know what? I'm enjoying showing up now because I haven't compromised myself in showing up. I am myself. I'm authentic. I can be who I am. There's been times when I come on the calls and I said, well, we're really tired today. We're just going to get through it. And, you know, we get on into it and it starts to work. So let me go through our questions today. We have a lot of really good questions. And call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry, myself. Let me just check. Are you okay, Terry? You've been fidgety. Terry's getting a sweater. We'll just be right with you. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources online and ready to answer questions?
This is Ba'an, and we greet each and every one of you on this line. This Wednesday, the date of February 12, 2014. And we take a moment and we orient. We do not come through the telephone lines and we do not come across the computer. We ourselves come directly to you. It is the voice that travels through the wires and the air to come to you. And we are joyful at this opportunity to connect with each and every one of you who wishes to be connected with, and we look forward to answering questions you may have.
Thank you. This is a question from Mark in Altadena, California, not too far from where we are right now. I listened to a call in the archives where a couple of call participants said, I am spirit. I were able to receive wisdom from their higher self. How can I invoke the light and ask for guidance directly when I am not part of a call? Is there anything standing in the way of this happening for me personally? That's Mark and Altadena.
Thank you. It is a matter of tuning so that you yourself can tune yourself to be open to receive the messages, the connection. Tuning to the high frequencies where we are, as we are there for you. Sometimes, in fact, many times, people do not know that we are there, and they ask their questions or they ask their prayers. They put out the yearning, the longing, and they do not sense that the circuit is complete and that they have been heard, that we are there and we are hearing you. And that is one of the main parts of our message, that we are there and we do hear you. You are connected, and to know that you are connected is a matter of tuning. It is a matter of receptivity. It is a matter of using psychic muscles that you have not used before to be able to be open to higher frequencies where you have not operated, and to be open even to a change in color, a change in energy, a change in the feeling of being loved. The changes that you receive when you are connected may be, how would you say, they may be subtle, very subtle. So be open and look for subtle changes. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to throw one little technique out that somebody can experiment with, and that is take a piece of paper and make the request that your high self be present. Ask a question and write down whatever comes in your mind on that piece of paper with no censorship. Now, don't look for automatic writing. Don't look for an entity to answer your question. But let it come from your high self. And no matter how stupid it's sounding, whatever, don't let your pen stop. Let one thing pass the other. And by doing this, sometimes you can bypass some of the resistant patterns in your consciousness and get some wisdom out that you'll be surprised. We once did this in a workshop where we did it on the telephone, not even in person. Well, we went around the room, and each person started asking a question about themselves, and then they answered the question. And the rules of this were they had to not think about the answer. They had to speak, not worry about how stupid it sounded or be self-conscious. And it was amazing the wisdom that came through. Every single person that did it. So try it yourself and just say, I am open. And just remember, this is not automatic writing. It's not where you're getting a spirit entity to talk through you. You do not want that, because that is too much of a potential to get a negative source. This is tapping into your own high self wisdom and possibly the Elohim or Roberts. Okay? This is from Joshua in Austin, Texas. For quite a while now, I have noticed little sparkles of light that I can see around me in certain light, sunlight especially. I believe we have touched on this a little bit, but more info would be helpful. What is it that I am seeing? I have been able to show others as well. Thank you.
Thank you. What it is the connection with the area of Elohim, which is grace. And grace can bring unlocking energies into blocked energies in your surroundings, in your matrix. And as the energy of grace contacts the locked energy, the locked energy releases a little bit as a little gold spark. So when you are seeing the little gold sparks, they are energies that have not been flowing and have been stuck within your matrix, which are beginning to become unstuck when you see the spark, that is the unsticking of one little area of locked energy. And you, at the end of the session, can feel a more openness of release of tension and a flowing of the energy more depending upon the intensity of the release.
Thank you. Gary Brawley is in the hospital right now. And, you know, he's had some serious situations with his liver. Cancer has disappeared, though. And he was very concerned about that, liver cancer. And a couple of days ago, he felt a pure feeling pass through his body when he did an OM. Was that feeling connected with our sources?
The OM has a certain frequency, and the OM radiates out, and the energies in the surrounding begin to release, interact, to flow better, and your system becomes open to the flow. All is connected on a gradient scale. However, the OM was releasing things in your general area of your matrix, and at the very highest level, we are connected to that. But it is a whole range of frequency connection moving through your body.
Thank you. Kosu, Kosue, and Cisco has asked a question. Just before I ask this, I just want to give a little precursor comment. And that is, a lot of times people ask questions about various religious practices or religious beliefs, like, did Jesus really die on the cross? Or was Jesus really married to Mother to Mary, Mary Magdalene, I think? Or, you know, different points of view that all kinds of people have. And oftentimes, our sources sidestep those answers because there's so many people that even in spite of the fact that there can be distortions in religions, there still is enough substance there to create a path back to spirit and to create a real connection. And that something that would totally make someone doubt their religion, it's not worth getting the correct answer for it. It's better to leave it hang. For example, with Edgar Cayce, when they were talking to Edgar Cayce for years, never did they say they were a group soul. And that Cayce believed it was the Christ speaking through him, and he, you know, gave it some kind of mystical prominence. And our information is indicating that, in fact, it was a group soul. But because Cayce was a religious, fundamental Christian when he started all this, if they were too candid, he might have dropped the whole issue. And some people think there's something. If they have the right information, like what's the best religion, what's the best belief system, that it is going to make a difference. And it may, but to a lesser extent. But this whole connection with spirit doesn't have to do with what you believe. It has to do with an energy that you can connect to. Now, if you're a Christian, you might connect with the energy of Jesus, or the energy of the Holy Spirit. And you're really having, and it's a real experience. It's not based on dogma. You're having an experience because there is an energy connected with that. And if a person is using that path, it would be detrimental to start taking the religion apart and finding the flaws in it. So, with that being said, I don't know how a sources are going to answer this question, but it's one of those questions that potentially there's people that believe in this in a certain way that they may find benefit from it, and it may even be negative, but they're finding benefit from it. So I don't know the answer. The question from Lusu is, what is speaking in tongues?
Thank you. It is moving into an energy that has been available before. Spirit has the language, and the language is not always English. So when the energy connects to previous languages of expression of spirit, and there is a main language of spirit, then it's depending upon the person and the person's connection and the person's connection to which language that has been coming through in the past, or the past and present and future being all in the now, it is a way to bring through information, which the main message is in the energy of that, the total commitment to the energy of the communication, although not in the current language, can be beneficial and a relief for the person.
Thank you. Okay. We have a request for Kai's. Send the light to his mother, who had passed away just today. And
we see light surrounding your mother. Your mother is moving into the light and is surrounded by the light and has protection from the light. She is finding it a rather good experience to be so connected with the light. The light around her and connected to the heavenly realm is very bright. She has done a very good job, and they are with her and providing her a intense transition of light and connection.
Thank you.
Very much.
Next question. Somebody's on the email that I should shut up. Here we go. This is from Erica Shia Brandon. Before I ask this question, Carolyn in Alaska, I don't know what question you referred to I was supposed to ask. Could you please point it out to me better? Because I didn't find anyone who asked the question by that name, okay? This is from Erica Shia Brandon in Portland, Oregon. I know that the discussions and the challenges have given me more hope than I had before, and also a greater sense of peace. My question is, am I part of the Elohim? I have felt from a very, very young age that I did not belong here and that I longed for home. I feel, though, that I have a very special purpose for being here, and I have some ideas about that, but I've never been able to make it concrete. Could you tell me if I am part of the Elohim and that what my purpose is here on Earth? That's Erica Shea in Portland. Erica Shea.
Thank you, Erica. You are a part of us. However, you have decided, and you have a very vital purpose in coming to the third density and to working through connections that you have had with others in past life and finding them and having the connection of home with them. In some past life, you have gotten together with others and they have also been from home base, and you have set up a home in the third density, and you are seeking to do that in this life, to set up a home where there is harmony, where there is love, where there is caring, and to bring into the third density the love, the unconditional love that you have brought from the home base. You have been in the third density and the fourth density for a few or more than a few lives. So you have begun to work through the dualities that are available in the third density to work through, to bring your intense feeling of love into the third density and learn how to put it into a third density dualistic system. You are learning to handle power and to integrate with love and to still find your way in the third density.
Thank you. Next question from Belinda in Santa Fe. And there's a person that I couldn't see the city here. I'm not sure of the city. Can you send your love, light, and attention to a reclusive former Marine who died alone in his home from a self-inflicted gunshot? He was retired Sergeant Elroy Timothy Foya, described as a loner by a few people who knew him, but his tragic death by his own hand in a Santa Fe apartment, so he was in Santa Fe, in January, finally brought him attention by the local news media. Seems he was dead for 3 weeks before anyone found his body, and his home was full of a lifetime of memorabilia, and he had few families and friends to observe his passing. A group of local men and several others spent weeks arranging a ceremony they thought was fitting for a man who had served his country for 20 years. Dozens of others, strangers to him, when they learned of his funeral, touched by his story, showed up at the cemetery. What a sad way to die. And I wanted to ask that he be surrounded in love light wherever he is now. Belinda, Santa Fe.
Thank you. The love light is around him, however, he is not sensing it. However, it is good for him as he is resistant to that, as he has felt that in his older life he was not able to bring the achievements that he wished to bring to his life. He was not able to interact, to bring the acts of heroism through. He did not feel that there was the opportunity or he had the capability, and so he felt that the best way was to retreat. And we say to him, we see your matrix shining. We see the valor that you have possessed. We see the acts of heroism that you have achieved. And we see that all of this is within your memory and capability and potential, and that there is more life out there for you, that you can repossess and again have a job that entails the sacrifice, the heroism, the bringing of good works, the research for the exact right work, which you who are listening know, you know what you are inside, what you are capable of, and it is time to roll over the life. It is time to move out of the thought of what you have done and know that you are capable of such acts in the future, and to let those acts that you have done go and know they are always in your memory, and that you can then step into a new role where real life breathing people can interact with you, and you can again bring forth constructive acts of heroism. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that beautiful connection with that gentleman. Let's all send him love light, okay? If you can feel it. All right. Question from Linda Roosevelt. And I don't have Linda's city here, so we'll try it. If you want to pass, we'll ask it next week when she sends the city. My question for our sources is, shortly after my father passed away, various days when I went to work, I would sit down at my computer, say hello to my coworker, and my computer would start to print out a page without it even being turned on. Usually a lot of letters and symbols, but they always had hearts on each sheet. It happened many times, and there were several witnesses to it. But then eventually it stopped. More recently, a human touch lamp I have has turned itself on, and this has happened many times without anyone touching it. Now this too has stopped. Could it be my father who passed away sending a message, or possibly angels or interdimensional sources? Linda Roosevelt, thank you.
Thank you. We do see that it is your father in both instances, the computer and the printing, and with the touch lamp. There's been one instance when just your father was coming through with a touch lamp, attempting to bring the message that they are connecting with you. We suggest that you can talk to your father in a moment when you have a spare time, a spare few seconds. Just, hi, Dad. Hope you're doing well where you are. Hi, Dad. I see your light shining. You reached me. I love you, Dad. Have a good trip where you are. There is a fullness of availability of growth and connection where you are. And I appreciate the connection you have made with me, sending you love, something like that of your own. To just say hi every now and then to your dad in a spare moment, not to try to bring him back into this realm, but just to wish wherever he is, wish him the good feelings that he has been wishing to you in his touching the lamp and in his printing country.
Thank you. Dharmananda asked that the conference line is busy sometimes and he can't get on, so he has to listen on BBS. You know, Dharmananda, we use a free service. We are on a microscopic budget to do this. We actually pay $500 a month out of our pocket every month to be on BBS. So our conference line is supposed to handle 1,000 people. But I would imagine if there's loads and loads of people coming on, not just for our call, but for other calls, they might over-amp their potential. And there's no way to fix that unless we had a huge budget to pay for a conference line that wasn't free that would guarantee that. So that's why we have BBS, and even that's not free. We pay for that. So what if you guys are appreciating this, you know, occasionally we put a donation button, and we really appreciate it when you donate because we've been doing this on our own nickel for quite some time. Thank you. And next question, we have time for a quickie. We have Dana in Culver City. I'm going to answer this one. I'm looking for my love partner, soulmate, now. How can I better align myself with this energy? Thank you. Dana, think of where the person you might meld with you, blend with you, would hang out. And go there. Whether it's the library, whether it's yoga classes, go find places where they might be. That's number one. And number two, when you're looking for someone, don't put the expectation that it's going to start out perfect. Let it evolve. You know, something that people don't take into consideration is that when people experience feeling loved, they become better. They look better. They're more friendly. And sometimes people that are looking for love look for the person that's perfect. And then if they're perfect, they don't need to be loved, do they? So you need to find someone that you can authentically support so they become more loving. And you become more loving. And let the relationship evolve. Don't expect, if they're your soulmate, whatever, that it's going to hit the ground running. Maybe it will. But in most cases, it probably won't. Okay? So that's my answer to that question. I think we're going to have enough that we can get in here. Albert Johnson had a question about seeing the flying saucer that he asked it to come back and it came back the next day. That does not mean that it's positive. The negative has flying saucers that can feel your energy and they can play games like that. So test it. Really, if it ever happens to you again, test it or you may end up finding yourself abducted, okay? Michael Adler, I'm not going to ask a question about the elongated skulls. I want to ask questions today that are helping people work out their issues, and I probably won't, okay? So it's 7:56. I think we have covered it. We are going to be, just saying again, I haven't sent out the email. I'm going to do it after this call. I got to do it because we're doing this on Friday. We're going to be at Vroomen's Bookstore Friday night at 7:30 for a free talk. And on Saturday from 11 to 7 or so, we're going to do a workshop. And Sunday in San Diego at, what's the name of the hotel? Mission Valley Resort, Hotel Circle. We're going to be there as part of the holistic Living Expo. I think it's called something else now. And we'll have a room that we'll leave from 4:30 till as long as we stay to do a workshop at the end of the day. And that's going to be a big room, plenty of room for people. Pasadena might sell out some. If you're interested, watch for the email. When I send it out tonight, I will send it out tonight. And I don't think we have room for more than 35 people. I don't know if we'll sell out or not, but we'll take the first 35, and then there's enough interest. Maybe we'll do one the following week, but that's it for Pasadena. I think San Diego has room for at least 100 people itself. So on that note, at 7:58, I'm going to end this call. We thank you all for being here, and we'll see you on our Sunday morning call. Okay, and let me just see. Here, no, wait a second. I'm going to mute everybody, and
love you all. Be well.
Thank you,
Terry.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you.
Thank you.